gorillas and the boss dog, Planet of the Apes.
This is Tom, and across from me, as always, is Tim.
Hey, howdy again.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. We're back again. I think after next week, we're going to be doing, for a little bit, we're going to be doing a bi-weekly thing, just because I have some job training and stuff to go through, so. But we'll still keep on bringing you some good reviews and good news. So.
Well, the good news is Tom's employed. The better news is there will be less of us to listen to. So.
Yes, yes. Hey. we're talking about three bands this week. There's a lot of new music coming out lately, so we've figured we might as well do more than two. So we're doing Black Rebel Motorcycle Club's new one, Beat the Devil's Tattoo, the new one from Gorillaz called Plastic Beach, and I believe it's their sophomore release from Moon Duo called Escape. We'll get into those shortly, but first off, let's start off with some news, Tim.
Howdy. Okay, now we're only going to do a couple of news stories today, and first one is going to be a cool one that caught my attention today, which is, I don't know how many people know about, it's a viral, another one of those viral kind of videos out there that, you know, oh, it's all creepy and mysterious and weird, so it gets everyone talking because they don't know anything about it. Well, this one is actually worth it because, one, the production value on the YouTube video is awesome. It's an awesome music video. It's only like, they're like three, as of right now, there are about three 50-second music videos from a poster who calls himself I Am I Who Am I. All one word, so go ahead and try put that in there. I am I who am I. And what this is essentially, like I said, it's like 50-second music video done in very creepy, cryptic fashion. And a bunch of artists have kind of come out and said, yeah, we didn't do this, but it's awesome. Essentially, everyone's been kind of guessing, like, who is this? Who does it sound like? Who could this possibly be? Again, it's done very well, so someone had to have the money to fund it. Some of these songs or song clips are actually pretty damn good. Again, I really recommend checking out this I Am Who I, whatever. Whatever I said earlier. But anyway, one of the latest artists to come out saying that I didn't do this, but it's pretty cool, is Trent Reznor. Neat. Also among them are Lady Gaga, Bjork, MGMT, The Knife, Aphex Twin. They have all kind of been, I guess, accused of possibly doing this. Again, whoever it is, when they finally come out, we'll let you know, because, like I said, I'm eager to get my hands in some actual full songs, because it actually sounds good. It's not just people trying to be creepy for creepy's sake. So, all right, that caught my interest this week. Tom, what do you got? Oh, I know what you got, actually.
Speaking of creepy,
yeah,
James Brown body is missing from crypt. This comes from the New York Post and a variable other number of publications. Apparently, James Brown is missing. I like the little first sentence off the New York Post. Legendary entertainer James Brown is now the gone father of soul. Apparently, his body, which was in a crypt in South Carolina, has gone missing. No word on it if it's been found yet. This story, I think, started a couple days ago, yeah. No word on if he's been found or what the reasons for his body going missing are.
Well, if they would have just buried the son of a bitch like they talked about.
me and Tim were thinking it was he's come back from the dead and he's
starting a race of zombies. We should really check Michael Jackson's crypt.
And Corey
Corey Haim, we should make sure that there's boulders placed in front so no more bodies or rising from the dead. I don't know if I don't think you listen to Drunken Zombie. They have a podcast out of Peoria, but for some reason they got themselves on a tangent a couple weeks ago about taking Weekend at Bernie's and relaunching the franchise by putting him in other movies, like putting him in Star Wars where he's frozen in carbonite. And what's funny, the joke would be when he's finally released in the carbonite, he just kind of falls.
Yeah.
Instead of okay, well, anyway, that was the image in my head of that he just kind of, you know, doing his little voodoo dance walking around.
Well, the other part of this story is his daughter LaRonda Petit believes that there's some controversy surrounding his death. She doesn't believe that it was a heart attack brought on by pneumonia. She thinks that it's common knowledge that James Brown had a drug problem, and that
we're breaking this news first.
And that that the people who supplied her daddy's drugs had a hand in his death. I don't know. That's interesting, but I mean, it would be more interesting if he did die of cocaine and then the cocaine just brought him back. I mean,
it's like a ghetto Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah.
Can we move on? Because
I think we can.
I'm going to talk myself into a further quarter here.
We're offending a lot of people right now, I think.
Oh, please.
We've offended James Brown's family, James Brown.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's zombie fans.
Yes. Oh, speaking of zombie fans, check out Slugcast. Here's a good segue here. Check out Slugcast, who is a fellow Penny Cult member.
Yes.
He just did Dodge Snow, or Dead Snow in the States, a film that Tom and I are actually fans of. I think
it's good.
Cool,
it's a good
film.
Swedish zombie / Nazi film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just fun, mindless horror. So anyway, like I mentioned, they are fellow members of PennyCult.com. Check out PennyCult.com for all the other podcasts, and there's a ton of them. We're going to get some real cool stuff done once our site's up and running and once we actually get things rolling in the next stage of our podcast. We're going to be a little more tied into them, but right now that we are featured on their website, along with a bunch of other good podcasts, including Obscure 80s Rewind. Cool. I mean, if you're a kid of the 80s, like, well, we are, it's a fun show to listen to. I already mentioned Slug, awesome. Wrecking Crew Radio, gotta listen to those guys. Action Attraction, Fan Kids, have you got any kids? I said I turned my son on to Fan Kids. It's a fun show done by these kids. Movie Fan House, we recently got their promo that we're going to be playing in our rotation. Who else is on there? Dark Hours Podcast is pretty cool. Oh, there's a few others, but anyway, leave that into how do you get to us as of right now. Like I said, until we get the new website launched, right now we're still on the Podomatic website. That's knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com, K-N-O-W, nothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. So go ahead, check us out there, subscribe to our feed, and like I said, in the near future, we are going to be switching over to a proper website and all that good stuff. So, but once that is actually set in stone, we'll let you know.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like I said, add us to your podcatcher right now. That way you'll be the first to know when it happens.
Yes, yes. And before we get to the three bands we were talking about this week, we told you about those other fellow Penny Cult podcasts. We'll play some promos here. So,
oh, yeah, listen to them and subscribe to their podcast as well.
It's coming. It's that time again when the freaks start to crawl out of the woodwork. They come together in one place for one purpose. So beware. Unless, of course, you're one of them. Horror Hound Magazine and Horror Hound Weekend. Find out more information by going to horrorhound.com or horrorhoundweekend.com. If you dare.
Hey everybody, this is Slug, host of the Slugcast. On Slugcast, you can hear movie reviews for films I enjoy that you may not have heard of. Also, each week I feature a band that I feel hasn't gotten the exposure they deserve, and I play a few songs by each band, as well as a cover song that I enjoy. This is a film and music podcast that's from a fan's perspective, leaning a little towards the fanboy side. So check out Slugcast at www.slugcast.net, as well as on www.pennycult.com. Slugcast is a proud member of the Penny Cult family of podcasts.
Here at Movie Fanhouse, we have all sorts of movie character guests, like Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
My name is Freeze. We remember it well, for it is the chilling sound of your doom. Is that good?
And Andy Serkis as Gollum.
I like children. I like that real Adam. It looks a bit precious!
Sean Connery as... Sean Connery.
That is sure Sean Connery to you, Frenchie.
And the notorious serial killer, Michael Myers.
So check out Movie Fan House.
The podcast for fans.
By fans.
Side effects of listening to this podcast include nausea, irritability, hostility, homicidal impulses, rapid loss of mental clarity, amnesia, kidney failure, diarrhea, muscle aching, tingling, inability to walk, problems sleeping, constipation, impaired muscle formation, erectile dysfunction, and temperature regulation problems. Thank you for listening.
Okay, now we're going to go into, why don't we start it off with Black Rebel Motorcycle Clubs.
Be glad to. We just finished talking about BJM, from which founding members spawn from, as well as founding members of about 30 other bands.
Yeah.
But BRMC, probably one of my favorite to pop off of that project. Now, BRMC, I believe they formed in 98, and then I got turned on to them in about, I think it was 04 when Howl was released, and have been a fan ever since. Now, just to kind of backtrack a little bit here, Howl, I'm just going to mention this because I'm probably going to be talking about it in my review a little bit more, but Howl was an album that, for me, really, I felt it was like one of the best rock albums I have heard in a long time, even still, because it just, they managed to put together some of the truest, most stripped down sounds from a gospel and blues era that's long since gone, and managed to put that in a modern, kind of a modern environment, and it was just great. It was just beautiful. So, now I'm also going to compare that. I say that so I can compare that a little bit to, this episode's long gone from Podomatic, just because we don't have enough, room on the server right now. One of the main reasons why we're moving. We talked about Effects of 333, like one of our first podcasts, and that album is just complete other side of the world. Yeah. It's a great experimental. I think there's a little bit of vocals on like one or two of the tracks. So I mean, it was just a complete polar opposite from that really stripped down Howl album. But anyway, without going on too much more of a tangent, let's see how their sound has evolved, how it's progressed. And Tom, go ahead and give us your opinion on their new album, Beat the Devil's Tattoo.
Beat the Devil's Tattoo is the first one to come out since Effects of 333. Which was self-released, and we talked about when it came out back in... Actually, we talked about it. It came out in 08, and we talked about it, I think, like, shortly after we started in 09. And it was more of a ambient, just a really experimental...
Yeah.
Something they just threw out, And said, I think they released it, wasn't it free?
I don't think it was free. I think it was $5.
Yeah.
For the entire album, and you can download in FLAC quality off their website, which is awesome.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
So that was really cool. And now it's Beat the Devil's Tattoo, which is their like sixth release, and they've got a couple of EPs and
a live album just came out last year.
Yeah, so they're fairly prolific. I mean, it's something I expect from them because, like Tim, I was introduced to them with Howl, and remember listening to that, and it really, really reinforced and let me know that there are some great bands that can still do like gritty, just bluesy, like just gritty sound rock.
Just stripped down. It was
really
awesome.
And really. It, you know, it doesn't have to have all the bells and whistles and this and that. It's just good sound. And I really think they don't let me down on this one because I Beat the Devil's Tattoo. It's different than their other releases. I know I think Baby 81 was a little bit different than their Howl. I think it was a more bluesy one, I think.
Well, I think they kind of went a little bit back towards their early BRMC days.
Yeah. So this is more of a, this is, I think, more of a, more like Howl, but it still has some of that, stuff from Baby 81. Before the show started, I was humming, one of the tracks. I can't remember, I think it was, maybe Mama Taught Me Better. But really, this whole album, I really enjoyed, There's some misses on here, but there's the thing with BRMC is for me it hits its stride for me after a couple listens, because there's so much going on, it, you know, after a couple listens it really sinks in and you start hearing more and more. Beat the Devil's Tattoo starts off with great sound. And I can't remember which track it is, but there's this really like low, guttural like guitar in the background. Maybe Tim knows what one I'm talking about. And that's the thing that I love about BRMC is that they really always had great guitar work, and they've always had, you know, they have that sound of that sort of garage sound, not great. You know, perfect, you know, sound, studio quality stuff, but there's a grittiness to it. But, you know, there's grittiness, but there's this great, great musicianship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Beat the Devil's Tattoo continues, I think. There are, it's great to see them coming from the effects of 333, which was so much different than what you expected from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're coming right back with this. To where, really, I love their sound. You know, I can't get much more than this. We're going to talk about a band a little bit later called Moon Duo, whose sound I think sort of reflects BRMC's a little bit. They do a little bit different with their sound and stuff, but we'll talk about that later.
Slightly more of an avant-garde.
Yeah. Yes. Tone. Yes. So it was interesting to hear, listen in to both of these albums this week. Sort of getting a different take on how it can be done. But honestly, I really enjoyed this album. This is an album I think I'm going to continue listening to. Of course, I'm a little biased. I always have liked BRMC from Howl. I liked Baby 81. Of course, Effects of 333 was great because it was so much different than their other releases. And then Beat the Devil's Tattoo I really enjoyed. I think maybe the last track... There's a couple tracks on here that I didn't care for. I don't like... I think BRMC is better at when they're just doing... when they're not slowing it down.
Yeah.
I think there's some tracks on here where they slow it down, and it takes you out of that feel of the album and the feel of what I think BRMC does best. It's just a really good, gritty, rocky sound. And when they... when they slow it down on some tracks, it's sort of like... You know, this is not what I came on this album for. But other than that, this is a really good album. I enjoyed it. Definitely recommend it to other people and who haven't heard of BRMC. And if you haven't heard of BRMC, go back, listen to Howl. There are other releases, and I think you'll be really pleased with Beat the Devil's Tattoo. Tim.
Very good. I think this album, they went into it with... there are three primary members, Peter Hayes, Robert Levon Bean, and Lee Shapiro. Now, to finish off that thought I was having while you were mentioning their sound, especially in when they slow it down, they're probably not at the top of their game. I was reading something. Usually I try not to pay attention to what too many of the other critics say before coming into a... the actual review, but I kind of had all my thoughts together, and I just was curious, and I just popped on Metacritic, and I forget who said it, but they said something similar, something to the effect of that it's a little bit too slow and depressing at moments. It's a little bit too, there's too much of a lull.
Yeah.
And I'll take it a little bit further. I think they're trying to go on a more of a dark jag with this album. But I think they missed the mark slightly on a handful of tracks where it ended up being more brooding than just dark. And I think what happened was it slows down at too many spots just when you're really getting into it. I think this uber high point of this is the self-titled track, Beat the Devil's Tattoo. Track number one, I mean, off the gate, it kicks ass. And I got myself excited. I was ready for this album. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. And again, to paint another picture here, I ordered this album. It came in. It came to my work, and I was just leaving, and I was excited to rip open the CD and just go ahead and pop it in and just listen to it in the car ride home. Now, we're here in the Midwest. We're here in Illinois, and the weather just kind of broke. I mean, it finally got above 60, yeah. 50, 60, and the sun. We actually saw sun for the first time in a while, and it was a great day to go ahead and put this album on, and I'll tell you why. It's a great spring album, because it has just enough badass rock and roll to it. You can roll down the windows, crank it up, and just, you know, let the air just kind of fly in your face and really get into this album. Now, it's not a full-on summer album. It's a little bit too dark to be a full-on summer album. And it really is a perfect match for the season we're going through right now, which is the in-between period where it's still kind of rainy, still a little bit gloomy, still a little bit cool, a little bit of that sweater weather, as you would call it. So it's not quite, we're not quite there, but at the same time, we're gearing up. This is what this album was for me. It's just let's gear up for something. It doesn't hit every single box on my checklist for what I wanted from this album, but altogether I can't really fault it for that. There's been a lot of great albums we've already listened to this year, and there's a lot of great artists on the horizon that we're going to be talking about that we have high hopes for. So right now it's kind of coming into, if you've been listening to us, I've been like praising almost every other album we've been talking about. So, well, I can't piss on this. I'll give it a couple more listens, and I'll probably really enjoy it. But hell, this week alone, it's really tough to put it up there with the other albums we're going to talk about. The other little thing I was going to mention, though, just to kind of cap off my idea, because for me, I'm a huge BRMC fan, so this is an easy buy.
Yeah.
I am glad I bought it. I like the CD, the case that it came in. It was like a little mini, and they're not the first ones to do this, but it was like a little mini record, as in vinyl record, where you just, you know, the CD pulls out and it comes in the little sleeve. It was actually pretty cool. That was a nice touch. And then it comes with like a little booklet inside there too, which folds out and becomes a nice little mini poster.
Cool.
With BRMC has always had good artwork. I mean, they're old school rock and roll. We need awesome artwork to put on t-shirts and for kids to scribble on notebooks. You know, that's who they are. They're that old school type of band. So it's worth a buy if you're a BRMC fan. But in otherwise, I'm going to say this is more of a listen slash recommend. You know, download it for your cheap.
It doesn't stand up next to like the previous release.
In my opinion, I don't really... I wasn't digging it quite as much.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to listen to a BRMC, and this is why I'm saying this, if I'm going to listen to a BRMC, it's probably going to be their self-titled or Howl. Baby 81, I think we were talking earlier,
yeah.
I wasn't crazy about. I did like Effects of 333 for what it was worth.
Yeah.
And you know what? Well, we're $5 to go on their website, support self-produced independent artists. Yes, by all means, I'll give you $5. This one, like I said, I'll listen to it a few times more. I'll probably listen to it out of curiosity to see how it holds up in the future. Again, it's more of a, I'm a fan, I'm going to buy this album anyway, as opposed to if you haven't heard them before, I'd probably recommend seeing if you can find Howl cheap.
Yeah.
But, all right.
So,
I mean, that's...
what tracks on here do you think you like?
Oh, definitely Baby 81, and, you know, while I'm on it, hold on, I was just on the page. That track number 13, which is the last track of the traditional album, unless you get the one... two extra bonus tracks, or if you order on iTunes, you get another track. I got screwed. I hate that. I hate that. But anyway, Half State is the song. That I didn't like it, but because I felt that song itself was a little too cookie cutter, and what was keeping this album back. It wasn't until the very end of that track where they start to jam a little bit more and you remember why you like this band. Then it starts to get really good. Otherwise, Evil, which is going to be E-V-O-L, which is going to be another one of their singles, I thought was pretty good. Well, again, the singles are awesome. There's definitely some good stuff on here. I'm not saying that there isn't. But, it was just... a weak album compared to good weeks of music. So, all right, that's really all I had to say.
And I found the one that the one I was talking about earlier, that's track number 10 called Aya.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
has the, I think it's the cello that I really enjoyed on that. It was sort of a different sound that I haven't heard on a BRMC before.
Mm-hmm.
That low sort of sound that sort of, I think goes well with a BRMC style. But anyhow, let's go on to a band, my only pick from this week, called Moon Duo, and I believe it's their second release called Escape. They've had two other releases, I believe. One was Love on the Sea, I believe. The band has only been a band for about a year or so, and it consists of Sane Yamada and Eric Johnson, who is from a band called Wooden Ships. And Ships, if you're looking for this band, it's SHJIPS. They're from the same label as Moon Duo, both out of San Francisco. Both sort of do the same style. Moon Duo is more of a experimental. And I mentioned their style is sort of reminiscent a little bit of what BRMC does, but they take Moon Duo takes it on a little different direction. So this is their second release with Escape, and Tim, what were your thoughts on Moon Duo with Escape?
Well, you know, I saw their music video for the title track off their other EP, which was Killing Time, earlier this week, and I was a little worried because, well, one, I wasn't into it that much because the music video itself was kind of boring, and the song was just kind of slow and drone, and I thought for sure I was going to enjoy this album. I was wrong. I was definitely wrong. I actually ended up enjoying it a lot. Oddly enough, except for the title track of this EP, which... Okay, let's start off first. Motorcycle, I Love You. Good track. Well, you know what? Every song in this one, I guess, if you want to take it that far. Their strong point is that they all have a great driving, steady beat to it that goes from the beginning of track to the end. And it keeps everything in place, and they're allowed to play around with their sound, with that noise rock. And they're able to really show you what they're capable of. There's some awesome wailing guitars, some decent melody from the vocals in here. I'm not saying that this is like a, you know, catchy, this isn't, you know, that Beach Boy-esque sound. No, I'm saying that it carries on a certain tone throughout the album. Again, another thing that they seem to spiral around with, you know, like I said, the steady beat, and like I said, everything else just revolves around that. That to me was what really kept this album exciting. All right, like I said, each one of those tracks seems to have that sort of element to it, except the fourth track, which is Escape. Here's my problem with Escape. I was really enjoying each track, and I thought they all held up on their own until I got to that, which what killed it for me was it has some good enough music to it. It's, you know, it's very much that sort of Velvet Underground kind of hazy rock sound with some wild guitars to it. That's in the forefront. What's in the background is this horrible drum loop, which is very cheesy, and I hate it. It's just very weak and boring and bland, and it sounds like a garage band loop, and I hated it. It was like if you took the song Heroin, but you put the drum track from That Thing You Do underneath it. It didn't work, and I think what they were trying to do, because you want to talk about brooding, this is a good brooding album. What I think they were trying to do is, I think they were trying to end on something slightly more cheeky, something that was going to be a little more endearing and cute, possibly. And for me, it failed miserably. It did not work. It really turned me off. It didn't turn me off of this EP. I think the fact alone that it was an EP really saved it, because I couldn't come down on it and say, oh man, what a horrible album, even though I hated a quarter of it. No, it was just that one song that let me down a little bit. What it did do is it did what every good EP should do. It's something we've talked about over and over again on the show. Every good EP should get you excited about that artist and excited about their upcoming work and their next release, and or seeing them in concert. My other big complaint about this album is the fact that it is something that, I don't know if it really holds up on CD or an MP3 or listening to it any other format than a live venue. They have this big sound that I want to hear live. I want to see the guitarist just go crazy and just do what he does. I want to see this live. This to me is something that I would love if it were an opening act. That is exactly what this is, you know, in my mind. This is an awesome opening act that makes you go, wow, those guys kick ass. I'm ready. I'm ready for some more music. I'm ready for something else. That's what this EP was, in my opinion. It was just a good setup for something else. I think, as a music fan, I would buy the EP. I would buy the CD to have in my collection, because I think it's solid. But otherwise, I'm more of a looking on the horizon sort of person. I want to see what else they have coming down the line. I'm running out of things to say about this. So we still got a whole other artist to cover.
I know.
All right, Tom, go ahead and give us your take on Moon Duo.
I have to agree pretty much on all points. The great thing about this album is that it's each track is pretty long. I mean, it's only comes in a little bit under a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the first track, and I think all of them, even Escape, are not under about 6 minutes or so. Motorcycle, oh, I Love You has that great sort of just one beat sort of guitar, and then it sort of almost halfway, quarter through, it changes to a more like pretty cool fuzzy guitar. Mm-hmm. And it still keeps that same sound, and that's the thing I like to this album, is it's just a cool sort of psychedelic fuzzy rock album. I think there's some vocals, I can't remember which track it is, but I think the thing that keeps this album together is there's a, in each track there's just a simple pattern that they mm-hmm. that they keep on throughout that song. And the thing I think that brought me, and I agree totally on Escape, the three other ones are very like going back to what I said about BRMC and Moon Duo, is the first three tracks very much remind me of a BRMC sound, very like gritty and fuzzy and garagey sound, and then Escape is more, I don't know, everything on that track sounds totally different from the previous three tracks. Like Tim says, it has that sort of monotonous, annoying drum machine, and I don't like the guitars on that. I think, like Tim said, they were trying to end it in a more lighter way. I think they failed. I think they should have stuck to their guns and just done all four tracks of sort of really good, like low, just beating guitar, and is what brought me into this, like with Motorcycle I Love You, was that great that just was like a three-peat just little beat that just sort of repeated throughout and just really brought you in. And unfortunately Escape, sort of, I didn't like the guitar, really didn't like anything on it, sort of brought me out of it. Would have liked something to end with like what they started with, and like Tim said, I agree. This is a signpost to, let me know that, hey, this is a band I should keep on looking out for, and hopefully they release an album with more than just four songs. Because, this was a one I played a couple times. I initially didn't like it. Initially I thought it was sort of a psychedelic ripoff of BRMC. And then the more I get into it, the more I heard what it was going for, and more I grasped what they were trying to do. By the end of this week, today, really enjoyed it. So this is another good recommend. I don't think it's this is one with this type of band, you have to pick and choose who you recommend it to. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very, it's a niche type of sound. You have to know the person you're recommending it to very well. Because, some people are going to love it, some people are going to hate it, and some people are just going to look at you like you're an idiot. I think this is a recommend with, that caveat. But, yeah, this is something I look forward to. I totally agree with Tim. Would love to see this band live.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good little bar type venue with great sound, so you can get really Motorcycle I Love You has that great guitar sound. I would love to hear that with some good big amps and just sort of rock out sort of to it.
Small venue would kick ass, like the Riv or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you get that sound,
just, where it just surrounds you, because this is what I think that really would make this sound even that much better. So,
mm-hmm.
That's about all I have to say. Let's cap it off with Gorillaz.
Gorillaz. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, because if you don't know who the Gorillaz are, WTF. Seriously. All right, this is their new album, Plastic Beach. Now, I will explain a little bit. Obviously, they are a... something you don't see very often, a fictional band. It's a concept band. They
sort of like the Monkees.
There you go. Wait. No, they're not. They're obviously
cartoons
represented by avatars. the other cartoon characters represented by avatars. You know, each character is, you know, and I'm sure if you've seen their music videos, you're a little familiar with those recurring characters. Mm-hmm. Okay, obviously they have their first three albums, their 01 release, which is their self-titled Gorillaz, and then Demon Days came out in 05, and now 2010 we got Plastic Beach. So I like that they don't really push it. They allow themselves to go ahead and, you know, do what they do, do it right, and not try to force out new albums. Now, main group is Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett. Now, they always bring in guests for these albums, of which this one has quite the friggin' lineup.
Yeah,
you
does.
Got Snoop Dogg right off the get-go, which I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. Okay, I'll give a little bit away. It kicked ass. Okay, Snoop Dogg right off the get-go, which was also cool. No, you got Mos Def on here, De La Soul, you got Lou Reed, Mick Jones. It's a plethora of great artists that show up for this. So, all right, without further ado, Tom, go ahead and give us your take and the let's finish this guy off. Give us your take on Plastic Beach.
Yeah, you know what? I think initially I really I wasn't sure about this. It took a couple listens because, of course, there was that. Silo was released a couple months back, sort of really whetted everybody's appetite for this. And Silo has Bobby Womack and Mos Def on there, and it has just a great beat on there. The only throwaway on here, I think, is the orchestral intro. Didn't really care for that. It's just a minute long. But then it goes right into Welcome to the World of Plastic Trees, and of course, Tim already mentioned him with Snoop Dogg, and
D-O-G.
Really, I was really, really surprised with the amount of collaborators on here. Snoop Dogg, Mos Def does a couple of songs, Lou Reed. I mean, yeah, Lou Reed's on here. De La Soul. The track I really enjoyed was another one that was a collaboration was Empire Ants.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, track number seven. The first part of this album is really heavily, I thought, just the collaborations. And then from like track nine on, more or less, it's sort of more of what I expected from the Gorillaz. I do like What's-His-Face's voice, the main vocalist from Gorillaz. I think it's...
Albarn,
yeah, who is from Blur. If you haven't heard of band Blur, definitely go give them a listen. But that was... I really enjoyed that. Empire Ants, like I said, has a great little... what I always like is they have... Gorillaz has, like, their bass sort of more in, like, a rap, R&B sound... But they mix. There's so much stuff they mix in. They really grab from a whole plethora of, like, it's just like a, you know, he just goes to like a buffet of different sounds and just picks and chooses.
They then have like that mixtape junkie feel to them.
Yeah, it's like he just goes in and goes, okay, I want to put this in, this and this, and then he goes and gets the best collaborators out there to do work with them. I mean, like I said, I was surprised Lou Reed's on here, and I really like Mos Def. There's a couple ones I haven't heard of before that I'll actually have to go out and listen to some of their solo stuff, because I liked track number three with Kano and Bashy. That was interesting. More sound candy that really reminds me of why Gorillaz been one of those bands that whenever you know there's going to be a new album from them, you really make the time to go and listen to it, because it's always different, and it's always something interesting. I mean, of course, Stylo, like I said, sort of came out, and I was like, okay, this is going to be an interesting album, because he's got, you know, Bobby Womack and Mos Def. I really enjoyed it. I need to listen to this album a couple more times because there's so much on here. I mean, I'll have to come back to you and let you know more about this after a couple more listens because it's 16 tracks. It comes in about a little bit under an hour, which is for an album these days quite long. We did a double disc, and that came in a little bit over
Field Music
under a little bit over an hour, and this is one album, and it's just a little bit, you know, about 20 minutes less than that. So it's a lot to take in. There's a lot of different sounds on here. Like I said, I really like the beat on Welcome to the World of Plastic Trees. They really don't use Snoop Dogg too much. You know, he's the thing that really captures me, at least, is that sort of that beat that starts it off, and Snoop Dogg sort of just sneaks in there. I think that with most of these tracks is it's the beats and the music that really grabs you, and then slowly the vocals come in and add to that. So this is a winner. Definitely another check mark on the Gorillaz list. So if you're a Gorillaz fan, you probably already have this. If you haven't heard of Gorillaz, I don't know what to say. Go out, listen to these guys. Go listen to their other releases first, I think, because this is a little bit for a new person to Gorillaz, maybe a little much, because there's so much on here. But you know, I could be wrong. It's my opinion. And you know, if you're a fan of these other artists, you've probably heard of this, you know, as well. So you know, I won't be surprised if this gets some great reviews. It already has been already from Rolling Stone, All Music, Entertainment. I don't like Entertainment Weekly. The Guardian, Pitchfork Media, 8.5 out of 10, so pretty good. And you know, I'd love to see these guys live. They're doing a tour. They're actually going to play at Coachella.
Oh, that's cool.
If you're listening and you're in the UK, if you're a fan, if you're a part of their fan club, they're opening up their rehearsals. So if you're a fan club member, you can go see them rehearse.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat.
I'm definitely gonna give this more listens. I think I'll enjoy this more and more as I give more listens to it. But Tim, what are your thoughts?
I'm gonna disagree just slightly, only in that. You said maybe visit the earlier albums first if you're not already indoctrinated in the Gorillaz fan club, so to speak. No, I would say this is usually whenever you talk about a group and you say, okay, if you haven't heard them before, you actually might want to pick up such and such an album first. This is one of the few where I feel like this is such a strong album. This would be a great place to, you know, start, listen to it, love it, absorb it, and then be like, there's more. And then you fall back and go, wow, there's great progression between album and album. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll help you to appreciate start to end. Okay, got that out of the way. Now, I don't have a ton really I have a bunch that I could say, but I would simply just be reiterating same old here. So all I'm going to say is this is just a phenomenal. A phenomenal album, and I absolutely loved it. It does get a little bit. It starts to drag a little bit, maybe towards the middle
yeah,
to
I
end.
Felt
yes,
that. I felt that
because it does start. You know, some those great beats that Tom was talking about. There's stuff that is very reminiscent of old school rap modern electronic twist to it, where it's toned down a little bit, so it's a little more palatable to a new audience. And to me, that was phenomenal. I mean, it was really brilliant. I thought it made this album instantly a classic while listening to it. You know, what they're doing with the sound. When they bring in guests, like, you know, Snoop Dogg's probably the first and most jarring because he has that iconic voice. I mean, you know Snoop Dogg. I mean, if you dial the wrong number incorrectly, you know, you'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Is this Snoop Dogg? So you know who he is instantly. He's one of those guys. So he stuck out a little bit, but not in a bad way. More like in a oh hell yeah, this album's gonna rock type way. And then the rest of the guests, they don't stick out as much.
No.
Unlike some albums, whenever you get featuring so-and-so, it tends to be like, okay, it seems forced, it seems wedged in there, it seems like, okay, Lil Jon just happened to be, you know, walking down the street and they yelled out the window, he came in and recorded a track. No. This one, everything just felt fluid.
Yeah.
And it all really just fell into each other.
It seemed like all these people were like, can we be on your album?
I was just reading the. Have you seen the article? Katy Perry.
No.
She asked to be on this album. They said no because she's dating. I don't remember the guy's name. He's like a skeevy British comedian. He was I can't remember the movie he was in, but anyway, he's a British comedian. They evidently they don't like the guy, so they said no because you're no so they told her no. So yeah, definitely an album that people want or a group that people want to collaborate with because they know they put out good work.
You said skeevy and I know who it is now.
Oh, okay.
It's Russell Brand.
Okay, yeah, there it is. I couldn't think of his name.
He's funny, but
He's the type of guy that looks like if he was your waiter, maybe you'd steal the other table's silverware.
Yeah. Yeah, he's funny, but I always feel like he's a douchebag.
Yeah, well, all right. Okay, back to...
This is called the Let's Offend Everybody episode.
I'm sure there's a few minorities we haven't hit yet. I hate the Chinese. No, what are we getting at? I completely forgot what I was talking about. Okay, I don't know if this is where I left off, but this is like the last point, my last bullet point was that I mentioned BRMC is a great spring in Illinois where it's not, there aren't quite flowers blooming, but there's a lot more mud on the ground.
Yes.
Wow, that's actually a great, I suddenly say stuff that's that smart. I mean, it's not that bright, but for me, it's pretty good. this is definitely a good gear. This is more of a summer album.
Oh, yeah.
This is one that Tom said he's probably going to listen to more. This is definitely going to be one I'm going to be listening to all summer.
Put headphones on and just go out and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is just, again, phenomenal album. I can't say enough about it. I think there's more stuff I had to say, but I don't think... Nothing would be as smart as mud on the ground.
Like cons other than the little like slow down at the.
Yeah, that's about it. You know, even when because same thing happened with BRMC where there are times I was forcing myself to listen through and just like I'll make it through this track and get to the next one. I didn't skip around any. Same thing happened with VRMC, but with VRMC it was a little less rewarding as opposed to with Gorillaz. I always felt like I was just getting a little bit bored, but at the same time, it was still a damn good song. That's about it. Like I said, I don't have a ton of cons for this.
Yeah. I think this album rewarded you the more you listened to it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, even when you did get a little bit, only because. Well, okay, here was another thing that I was going to say, but I'll come back to it. This is one that, my opinion might change the more I listen to it, but it feels like the parts tend to overwhelm the whole.
I think
as an experience, as a whole, I just wasn't buying it completely. That's probably the biggest negative, and that actually sums up a couple of my dislikes about this, is that... Working beginning to end, it feels a little disjointed at parts. Not horribly so, but any given track I can listen to at almost any given time. Mm-hmm. It's just that sometimes, you know, it starts off like, oh, this is going to be a great, oh, you know, they're incorporating a lot more hip-hop into this.
Yeah.
They've done it before, but this is, they're really, okay, they're putting that a little forward, and then they start, and then they stop it. Or they don't stop it, but they slow that down, and they go back into a little more, they jump backwards into their catalog a little bit, which isn't bad. So, to me, it was just a little bit, it threw you off a little bit, but again, not horribly so, where it turned me on the album completely. It was just something where, while I was listening to it, I was thinking to myself that the song doesn't work here, but this song works. So, this would be my buy album of the week. BRMC is probably more of a download slash recommend. Moonduo, it's an EP, so still go and buy that one. Support this cool upcoming artist. I think very highly of it. Probably more of a recommend for me was Moonduo. But like I said, BRMC gets put up a notch only because I'm a huge fan anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I think this is definitely my pick of the week just because there's so much on here. And like I said, I gave it a week. Almost wasn't enough just to get through this, and there's so much.
I was going to mention that too. That I do feel like I shortchanged. I've been listening to a lot more BRMC and Mundo only because it's a fairly short EP. This is a long LP.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do feel like this kind of got shortchanged. That's why I kind of wanted to keep my ideas concise, even though I didn't. but. Yeah, this is definitely going to be one that I want to re-listen to, and really fully absorb.
Yeah.
That's why it's my buy. This is one worth having around. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Yeah, we got three again next week, and then, like I said, after that, we're going to go to a bi-weekly thing for a while. But my pick is from an artist who hasn't done an album for about almost 20 years. His last album was about 16 years ago. His name is Gil Scott Heron. You may have heard of him, you may have not. He does spoken word stuff. He's a musician, he's a poet. And it's his new release called I'm New Here. If you listen to Sound Opinions, Tim just let me know before we started that they talked about this album. I listened to the first couple of tracks, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this next week was just to, you know, get Tim's reaction and listen to the rest of this album. So that's my pick. It's Gil Scott Heron with I'm New Here.
All right, and mine is going to be, first one's going to be a Hot Chip. They're a brand new one. I've been a fan of Hot Chip for a while now and really dig them since coming down strong. Their 2010 release, One Life Stand. That came with my BRMC, so because I've been listening to the other ones, I've actually been dying to listen to this one. I've only listened to a few seconds of a couple tracks, so I'm really actually excited to sit down and listen to this one in full. The next album is going to be one that I've been looking forward to, Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Their new album, The Brutalist Bricks, was just released, I think on the 9th, so I want to pick this one up and listen to it. Been eagerly awaiting it for a while now, so hopefully it lives up to my expectations. It's another one that I've been just waiting
for. I think Ted Leo and the Pharmacists is one of those bands that's always been around and always been putting out some good stuff. They're one of those indie sort of supergroups, you could say. So.
Kind of like Spoon, what we talked about earlier.
And,
all right, yeah, there's going to be... again, I mentioned this earlier. Every week there's been something, and for next few episodes, I can see a bunch of great artists on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they hold up to that really awesome benchmark that's being set. It's been a really good year for music, and I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot by saying that aloud. So, we'll listen to us next week, please. Add us to your podcatcher, like we said. And pretty soon we'll have our own website. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, and like Tim said, there's some great albums coming out. There's Gold Frapp's got some stuff coming out. Bunch of new bands. So
there you go.
I'm going to try to go to this show on Saturday at the Metro. Tim might as well, depending on, you know, circumstances. It's A Place to Bury Strangers with another band I enjoyed. They had a album that came out in 2009 that sort of got some rave reviews was The Big Pink. They're going to be at the Metro, so I'm going to try to go to that. Hopefully I can go, and then instead of doing a story, I can review a band that I saw in a concert.
Sounds like fun, and get out there, listen to some music, and again, don't forget to visit pennycult.com.
Yes.
And check out all the other great podcasts out there. So, and again, thanks for listening.
Later, everybody.
Later.